I placed a post on Facebook where I was speaking about faith, righteousness, and works, and how it all works based on the book of James, where I basically stated that when James wrote and said, faith without works is dead, he was actually saying that if you say you believe in Jesus Christ, how can you continue with the old law Jewish system? Because then your faith doesn't have works. It's like a good example is where Jesus said, those who believe, or Mark said, those who believe and is baptized shall be saved. It was almost like faith without works. Now, please don't hear what I'm saying, that I'm saying you need to be baptized to be saved. The Jewish tradition worked like this. If you believed something and you were baptized, it basically says that you washed off the old belief. You don't believe it anymore, and you now stand under a new teacher, which then, if you baptize in the name of Jesus, you would be having Jesus as your teacher, and you washed off the old belief. So if you believe in Jesus and you wash off the old belief. And Jesus said in many ways, he says you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. These two things cannot work together, because if you want it to work together, you'll eventually be against the grace system. So we cannot, and he explained this way, you cannot take a seed and sow it amongst the thorns. Thorns speak about the curse, speak about curse, of course, thorns curse. Cursed is everyone that's under the law. You cannot mix the grace message with the law message. That's what he tried to say. And here he comes, James come, and he writes in a way that's difficult for a Gentile to understand. Now, I don't even want to say the word Gentile. I don't even want to say the word Jew, because there's no more Gentile, no more Jew. But just for people to understand what I'm saying, I will use that terminology. I don't even like to use the word sin, but for people to understand, we use it. James chapter 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, now this is very important to understand. He's writing to believers that were of the 12 tribes that were scattered. So these were Jewish believers that were scattered. Listen to what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Now, what was tried here? What was tempted? What was tested? Was it their conduct or their faith? Was it what they believed or what they did that was tempted? Now, he didn't say count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, meaning count the joy if somebody tempts you to steal. That's not what it talks about, the trying of faith. Now let me explain that. When Jesus was in the desert, what did Satan come to do? He came to test him, to tempt him, to try his faith. In other words, what he believed. He believed that he was the Son of God. Jesus believed that he was the Son of God. Then Satan came and tempted him by telling him that he should not find his sonship in what God said about him, but to prove his sonship by what he does. And that was a temptation or a trying of the faith. Should his faith be seen, if Jesus should not fall from his faith, let's just use Jesus' example here. Should Jesus not fall from his faith and his sin, what would sin be? Not to believe what he believes. Okay? Remember, it's a trying of faith. Now, I know just by saying that, people say, no, 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 no. Well, my friend, that's what it says there. The trying of your faith. Knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. So when you fall into temptations, then the purity of faith is seen. Now let me explain that. If I am tempted to go back under the law by some situation saying to me, listen, don't believe this, believe this, count the joy, be happy when you are tempted to, or by another system, to go back to the law system. Remember, your faith is tempted. Your faith you're tempted to get rid of your faith. Okay. Trying of your faith. Because if you can continue to stay in your faith, that is patience. In other words, count the joy when you are drawn by other people or circumstances to say, no, that's not the right way, come to the other way. Why? Because that means you're still in the right way. If you're tempted to go under the law, it still means you're under grace. Okay, if the law doesn't tempt you anymore, it's a problem. Okay, knowing this, the trying of your faith works patience. So, it means the proof that my faith is durable, meaning I am not turning away from my faith. That is called patience. Patience, going to study the Greek word, it means to do one thing for a very long time. So here he comes and says, listen, the proof of the genuineness of your faith is called patience. And you will be tempted to get out of this. Okay? But let patience have its perfect work. In other words, continue to believe until the end that you may be perfect, wanting nothing. Now, that is not talking about cars and houses and those kind of things. The Bible language about perfection, wanting nothing, and patience having its perfect work, believing until the end, talks about immortality. Now, people can differ from that as well. My goodness. Okay, right. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally. What does liberally means? Freely or in freedom. And upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. Now, my goodness. If any one of you lack wisdom. Wisdom is the correct application of truth. What is truth? Jesus is the truth. Amen. Now, at the end of the day, if you take all truth together, including Jesus, you come to the truth. Because people will say, Bertie, is it true or not that you are 39 years of age? Well, that's true. Do you know what? That you might only become 80 years of age. Well, that's also true. Okay, do you know that you're going to die? Well, if Jesus will come back, of course, I'm going to die sometime. Okay, now let's bring the truth about Christ in. The truth about Christ is, even if I'm 39, even if I only get to 80, even if I only get to 60, I believe I'm going to get much older than that, but even if I get to 60 and I die, what's the truth about my whole life? Death cannot defeat me, and that I'll be raised up with Christ in immortality. Should Christ come back, in my life now, I'll be immortal and never die. That's the whole truth. The whole truth, the buck stops with Jesus. Amen. That's where it stops. Hallelujah. Right. But let him ask in faith. Okay, when you need wisdom. Now, these Jewish people were tempted to get rid of their faith, not to believe in Jesus anymore. Okay? And they needed wisdom in how to handle their situation where they were tempted and going through hard times for the gospel of Jesus. They needed wisdom. Then he says, if you ask God, ask, if you need wisdom, if you need a correct application of the gospel, ask God that will give liberally, freely, and he upbraideth not. Now, what does upbraideth not mean? Our Afrikaans translation for upbraideth not simply means this. Hy verwyt nie. The word verwyt means the following. He takes no account of the past. In other words, these people, and out of this we can start to see the background of what is written. These people got wisdom. They thought it was godly wisdom, and they were asking God, thinking that he can take account of the past. That doesn't talk about your past sins. He's talking about the past as the end of the Jewish system, the end of the law system. God's not going to take account of the past, of the law, and give your advice according to the law. For instance, well, you are persecuted now for believing that you don't have to circumcise your kids. You are persecuted now for believing that you don't have to go to the synagogue. You are persecuted now for believing that you don't have to tithe anymore. You are persecuted now because you believe that you're not justified by slaughtering animals anymore. Oh God, I'm persecuted. They're going to kill me. What must I do? Now, hearing God, thinking God can give you advice by taking account of the past, which was the law, which passed away. Thinking he's going to tell you, okay, no, it's fine. Go and sacrifice animals now. You know, that's the fine thing. Just go back to the old Jewish system. Go back to that. That's fine. That's God's wisdom. He says, no. If you ask of God, ask in faith. What is faith? In the persuasion that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. What is the Word of God? The Word of God is the gospel of your salvation in Jesus Christ. That is the Word of God. Amen. Jesus is God's Word. What God came and said through the fact that He became a human being is God's Word about your life and the life of every human being. Amen. Right. So, having faith, having a full persuasion on what Jesus Christ came to do. If you need advice, ask God in the full persuasion that you are not justified by your works, that who He is who you are, that His righteousness became your righteousness free from your works, that grace empowers you unto a new life and not your willpower, that God will work in you to will and His will be your will, that the life that manifests in you will be a fruit of intimacy with Him and God, that your marriage with the law was ended and you are freely free to be married to Christ, that He will bear His fruit in you. That is the gospel. Okay. Right. And it says, ask in faith, not wavering. What does the word waver there means? Go and look at the Greek there. It means to be double-minded, to have two mindsets. To have the mindset of the law and the mindset of grace. That's what it means. It doesn't mean just wavering like, I want to just say to you that the sickest thing there is, the sickest thing that could ever come to the human race is a mixture of grace and law. Because the grace guy, the guy that's in the mixture, when you preach to him works righteousness, he will say, no, I believe in it. That is what the Bible says. If you tell him grace, he will say, no, I do believe in it. Here I preach about it. Or here I believe in it. Here's two of my messages. Or I believe it. I've got a book of that on my shelf that I just bought. Okay? It would be much better if you were cold. In other words, not believing in the gospel of Jesus at all and only be fully under law so that you could not say, I believe in it, so that you could be convinced. But if you mix it, you cannot be convinced of the whole truth. And you will be spewed out of the mouth of God, meaning that He will not confirm your word by saying what that person preaches is my word. Amen. You're not part of His mouth. You're not His mouthpiece anymore. Okay, but let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave that is driven by wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. So in other words, if you need wisdom how to handle your situation, and you don't come with a full persuasion of the gospel of grace, but you've got a double mind, law and grace, being tempted in the faith, thinking God can give you advice to go back to the law, you will hear something, but don't think it comes from God. Okay. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now he comes with a rebuke. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in his exaltation. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Now, why does James use that language? He says, let the brother of low degree. What does a Jew understand of the brother of low degree? It talks about low and rich. The Jews believed that the rich are those that God has put the stamp of approval on their lives because they've obeyed Deuteronomy 28 that says, you'll be rich if you obey all my laws. Let him that obey all the laws to the point that he is rich say, I am made nothing. Because all of this is human ability. And let him that never had any of these things, you know, he didn't have obedience to the law, let him say, I've been made rich because of Christ. That's what he's saying there. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So shall be the rich man fade away in his ways. Now what's the rich man in his ways? My goodness. The way of the rich was clearly explained by Pete. Peter was shocked. Peter was shocked in the same way than what most Jews was and all the disciples, including James, when Jesus said in the book of Matthew that it's basically impossible for a rich man to be saved. It's very difficult for a rich man to be saved. Then they said, well, if the rich cannot be saved, the Bible says they were astonished above measure when Jesus said it's almost impossible for a rich man to be saved. They asked the question, if a rich cannot be saved, in other words, if a person that's obeyed the law fully to the point that he's rich cannot be saved, or it's difficult for him, how can any man then be saved? Then Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. And here, that's the mind of a Jew concerning rich. And if you go into chapter 2, you're going to see where he talks about them giving honor to the rich and rejecting those that believe in Jesus, that were poor believers in Christ, but they honored the rich that even blasphemed the name of God. Then he said, how can you that say you have faith but not works? What is the context? You honor the rich Jew and not the poor Christian, and you are getting so back into Judaism that you are getting to the law where you are defined by what you do. So the faith that say, I believe in Jesus, but the work that, without the work of honoring the gospel and the believers in the gospel, but honoring the people of the law higher than the people that believe in Jesus, is faith without works, and it is dead, and it cannot save you. You must realize, without believing in Jesus, you cannot be saved. I know there are people that will disagree with me on this, but that's what I believe. I am still, until this day, branded as an inclusionist, saying that I say that you don't need to have faith to be saved. I don't believe in that. I don't even believe in once saved, always saved. Okay? What this is actually saying is that you cannot be saved by having a faith that cannot, a faith without the work of it, meaning saying, I believe in Jesus, and then I make use of Jesus. Okay, these people weren't making use of Jesus, they were still making use of Moses. Now that is so clear from the beginning, but if you cannot see it that way, I feel sorry for you, because the book of James will just condemn you from the beginning until the end. And there is condemnation for those who reject Christ. This is condemnation. They have not believed on me. So, if there's a faith where you cannot be saved, if there's something that you need to do that cannot save you, you need to reject Christ. Listen to what it says in chapter 2. Chapter 2. For if you have judgment without mercy, in other words, talking about these people that had judgment without making use of mercy, they made a decision about people's lives without making use of the mercy of God. They didn't believe in mercy. They only believed in the law. It's like judgment without mercy would be the Pharisees and the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. They had judgment without mercy, but Jesus had judgment with mercy. Okay, the finished work and what he's come to do. And mercy, it says that, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. So, if you cannot show mercy, now what is mercy? It's the gospel of Jesus. Okay? If you cannot show that to people, you know, then the same will be to you because you're rejecting Christ. What does it profit, my brother, though a man say, I have faith and I have not works? Can faith save him? It talks about salvation, faith unto salvation here. The context is not works. We know that we cannot be saved by our works. The faith that he's talking about here is a faith that will save you. Okay? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead, being alone. So what is it? You say you believe, but you cannot extend mercy, the gospel of God being merciful to the poor. They honor the rich, but the poor are just low. Why? God showed mercy to the poor, saying the poor are as rich as what the rich are, and the rich are as poor as what the poor are, putting everybody on the same level. The book of James needs to be read in context. And we need to read every verse from verse 1 to understand this. Now, I did skip some of the verses here because I can't spend the 4 hours on teaching on two chapters here. So, my brother, I want to tell you, my friend, my people that's for me, against me, all I want to say is the book of James is all about, are you going to continue to believe in Jesus? Fall under the temptation of Satan, which comes to bring back lust, which is desire to go back to the old law. The same way they were tempted in the desert to go back to Egypt. Are you going to fall in that, or are you going to believe until the end? Let not many be teachers. Let not many, rather, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Because these people, they weren't swift to hear. They were quickly to say, no, this is the way, that's the way. And not really thinking, pondering upon, how are we going to apply the finished work of Jesus to every area of our life. I just want to end off with this. I absolutely believe that when we believe in Jesus, we shall bear fruit. The fruit there is His fruit in us. It's called the fruit of being in the Spirit. When are you in the Spirit and when are you in the flesh? Galatians 3 is very clear. You began in the Spirit by believing. Now you want to be made perfect by the law. Let me read that. If you begin in the Spirit, why do you want to end in the flesh? Flesh is to be justified, or think that you make your faith perfect by adding works. We don't add works. It's like, let me explain to you how to add works to your faith by your own power is like me marrying Elena, and then I add kids by making the neighbor's wife pregnant. That's the same way, same thing. You don't add kids from an... You just marry your wife. You marry your wife. You are intimate with her. And kids shall be added by you being diligent in your relationship with your wife. If we are diligent in our faith, if we are diligent in what Christ has given to us by adding to our faith virtue. In other words, we are virtuous towards our faith. We knowledge there in Peter doesn't talk about just not talk about acknowledgement. If we acknowledge what our faith really says, we will find great fruit in our life. But if we are not diligent towards our faith, but we quickly mix it with works, if we are not virtuous towards our faith, we quickly mix it with works. If we are not if we don't have long suffering when it comes to our faith, but we quickly mix it with works, we will fall away. We don't want that. So the book of James is clear. If we take chapter verse 14, let me get into that. People say, but the scripture is clear. Faith with works is to give to the poor. That's not what it says. He says, he tries to make a vergelijker. He's comparing two things. He says, as dead as what it is to tell somebody be warm and not to give to him, that's how dead it is to say, I believe in Jesus, but I still discriminate against the poor because of my Jewish system, honoring a rich man that is blaspheming the way. The Jews that didn't believe in Jesus honored the rich that blasphemed the way. Now these Jewish people that James wrote to is doing the same. They're falling from their faith. As simple as that. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Listen, what does that mean? What did James try to say every good and perfect gift? The word perfect means complete, needing to add nothing. So these people were thinking that the gift of Jesus was something that was not perfect. In other words, it was for a time. And then God will have a shadow of turning on the gift he's given, adding some other things. So I want to just say this. I'm passionate about the gospel of Jesus. And I'm sorry if some people feel I'm a bit too radical. I don't want to bring a big stir in your church. Give the impression that I don't believe in good works. I'm absolutely for good works. The Bible says we have been created unto good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So he didn't come and say, listen, God prepared good works and now we better do it. No, good works was prepared for us, for that is what fits in with us. That is the way in which we live our natural life. We can't but do it because it is Jesus doing in us. And I want to say this, if a person that's under grace does not have good works, is Christ the minister of sin? No, what it means is he's not in the good works because he's not applying the finished work of Jesus in that area of his life. So, if his marriage, for instance, let's take marriage. If a person is not treating his wife right, why is he not treating his wife right? For he's not applying the finished work of Jesus in that area of his life. Then Paul will come and say things like, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Knowing the revelation of love applied to this area will manifest the power of God in that area. And then he goes on for a very long time on how Christ treats the church. And then he says, men, that's how you should love your wife. How? As a result of God first loving you, this will flow out in your life. Every area of life where you live a life of destruction is simply because of not understanding and making use of the finished work of Jesus in your life. Peter even said it. He said clearly, he said, those who don't have these things have forgotten that they were purged from their sins. So if you don't have a conduct, if you don't have a life that's powerful towards the gospel, it's because you've forgotten that you've been purged. Amen. Well, I hope it makes some things clear. I'll preach more on this on Sunday and in the weeks to come.